Good evening, everybody. I'm Ron Esposito, and I hope you'll enjoy our interview this evening with Betty Leavitt. As a teenager in Detroit, Betty Leavitt scored a hit single with My Man, He's a Lovin' Man. But by 20, she had faded into obscurity. Despite her association with legends like Aretha Franklin, Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye, and James Brown, bad luck smashed Leavitt's hopes again and again. Then, after 40 years of singing in clubs, her unforgettable performances at the 2008 Kennedy Center Honors and at President Obama's pre-inaugural concert put her back in the spotlight. With unflinching honesty, Leavitt boldly recounts her ride from the peaks to the pits and back to the top, where she rightly belongs. Poignant and brazen, her autobiography, A Woman Like Me, is a tour de force from one of the most outspoken female performers singing today. Betty Leavitt, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, it sounds like you've wasted no time in doing exactly what you want to do.
Well, I never have. The only thing I've ever had any problem with is my career. And that's always been done on its own terms, unfortunately, no matter how I plan and work on it. Mine seems to be turning out just the way it wants to. I mean, look at my contemporaries. All of them are either, unfortunately, dead or very rich. And I'm not either.
A couple themes seem to play out in the book for me. One, your relationship with men, personally as well as business-wise, and that you pretty much were kind of maybe like a no-rules kind of person, just, hey, let it all rip. Maybe somewhat like a female player. We hear guys referred to as players.
People tend to only talk about the guys in show business when the women in show business live the exact same way. It's just that you look strange checking into one hotel room with five guys. They wouldn't ask Mick Jagger where he was going with all five of those women to his room. You know, so show business is show business. It's the same show business for everyone. And in terms of the no rules, my rules just don't lie along the lines of where everyone else is. But when you read about my parents, you're talking about a woman that I never saw naked until she was near death. I never heard my father cuss. So they just did things that everybody else didn't do. They just were different, and I was raised differently and got into a different business. So I certainly have rules. In fact, if you ask my grandchildren, too many of them.
You collaborated with a great writer of celebrity bios, David Ritz. Seems like you guys really pulled a long period of time together in a very readable piece of work, your book, A Woman Like Me.
Yeah, in a very short time, people were very surprised about that. Here again, just a little while ago, all I had was these stories. All the rest of my contemporaries have been going around and making new stories. All I had was these stories, and I had them in my mind and in my heart for 40 years, so it wasn't hard to recall them. They were the last things that happened to me.
Your longtime musical collaborator, keyboard player,
Rudy Robinson.
Yeah, Rudy Robinson. Why don't you tell us about Rudy a little bit?
Well, he was the nemesis of my life. He had been with me since I was 18 years old. He virtually knew everything I was getting ready to sing. I was just totally comfortable with him. He was a drunk for a very long time, and then when he did quit drinking, he just became an odd person, a sober odd person.
About halfway through the book, there's a point, I just want to quote this, because I tell you what, I was so moved by it. You say, I'd walk into a bar, order a drink, and watch a woman in her 60s singing in front of a makeshift band. She was 50 pounds overweight. Her makeup was running. Her clothes were frayed. I could hear that once upon a time her voice had been strong, but now her voice was shot. Her eyes were sad. At some point, a guy screamed, "Let's turn on the jukebox." I wanted to slug the guy. I wanted to cry. I wanted to stop seeing myself in this woman.
Now, you know people who've been rediscovered or whatever, like John Lee Hooker and like they did with Tina Turner. But I was not a has-been. I was and never was. And at 55 years old, they came and gave me all of this that's going on now. I really thought I was going to be her. I thought I was never going to leave Detroit again. I thought I was certainly the expensive clothes that I had bought once. I thought that I would have to just maybe keep having them let out or whatever, just the way she was, or things that were too tight. And trying to sing these songs either for drinks or for $25 or $30 a night, I just knew that that was what was going to happen to me. And when I saw her, I mean, she was terrifying. It was like seeing a ghost or a monster or something. She was terrifying to me. And I saw it coming on really, really fast. I mean, as I said, who continues to aspire to be a singer at 55? You know?
Yeah, right.
Your aspiration is gone. You may still be going on with it as I was, but I was so fortunate that the people you read about in the book who are still with me today, they really had great, great faith in me. And that kept me holding on. I meant because my suffrage wasn't happening in the same way that it happened to other artists. All these people were paying my bills. They were buying me clothes. They were buying me drinks. They were taking me out to dinner. This is a group of maybe 6 or 7 people, maybe 10 people all over the world in that group. But these people have been with me for the whole 50 years, darn near, many of them. A couple of them have. And they were just, don't quit. No, don't quit. Don't quit.
Well, talking about don't quit, I remember seeing you at the Queen City Blues Festival a few years ago. And I want to tell you what, you brought it. You brought it in every which way it could be brung.
When I think about how grateful I am that they finally decided to listen to me, and the shows, I've practiced 1,000 shows over the years that no one ever got a chance to see. So when this opportunity started to come together, I wanted them to see at least some modicum of the youth and energy that I had. I have no idea where I'm getting all this energy from, but everybody keeps telling me don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
So how did you get hooked up with playing the Kennedy Center Honors and President Obama's pre-inaugural concert?
My husband was reading online that they were going to honor George Jones at the Kennedy Center Honors. And I had a CD out right at that time called Scene of the Crime, which had one of George Jones' tunes on it. So my husband called my agent and asked, could I be on the show? And they said that so many people were coming from Nashville, you know, in honor of George Jones. They said they didn't have any other room there. We kind of left it at that. So the producer, meanwhile, saw on YouTube a clip of me doing Dolly Parton's Little Sparrow from a previous album on The Tonight Show. And he called and asked, would I be interested in honoring another artist? I said, well, who? He said, the who? I said, what? But that came about just like that. And I had never heard the song before, but...
Yeah, Rain Over Me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that went really well, and they were fortunate enough to be chosen, that production team from the Kennedy Center Honors, the production of the inaugural party the night before the inaugural. And they called me and asked me would I like to do that. I said, well, yes, I'd love to do it. I was the only person on the show, first of all, who wasn't a star. I was the only person on the show who was born in segregation besides Pete Seeger, who was born under different circumstances. It was the first time that that many people had, in my whole 50-year career, had ever seen me. It was the first black president. I was standing at the feet of Abraham Lincoln. It was all too much.
There is no doubt of that. I want to thank you very much for spending this time with me and talking about your autobiography, A Woman Like Me, Betty Lovett.
Baby, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully I'll be back in Cincinnati soon.
More information on Betty Lovett can be found at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito. Thank you for listening. 'Cause I'm-